Welcome to the Twisted Podcast. My name's Trina, and we're talking with Sean today from Dogs Nation. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So tell me a little bit how this all came about. What got you interested and how the idea first just started tugging at your heartstrings and your mind?
Oh, yes, that's for sure. Okay, Missouri, where I am, is very rural, and there's no animal control out in the country. So that's one thing that kind of got me started because of all the litters of puppies and such, you know, that were dumped out on the abandoned roads and no place for them to go. And then as I started taking in the animals, I started to realize that most of them were pit bulls or pit bull mixes. And that's a problem because of so many, you know, misconceptions and BSL, which is breed specific litigation. As I started working with these pit bulls and stuff and taking them out in public, I realized that people do love them, that it's kind of I'm not sure where all the misunderstandings has come from. Then I started to train them to be service dogs for the veterans because I had a lot of veterans that were involved in my life. And once they became a service dog, trained task, they are no longer a pit bull. They are medical equipment, and so they're allowed to go, you know, in any town, any state. And as a matter of fact, years ago, because Springfield, you know, had BSL, they just recently overturned it, I got special permission to take a blind pit bull that they had at animal control, and we named her Lassie, and she was quite the ambassador for the pit bull breed. And we've just been going on and on since then.
Wow. Now, is it just pit bulls or do you take all breeds?
I take all breeds.
Okay.
That's for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is it that you are looking for when you see those dogs? Because I know dog lovers, pet lovers don't ever want to turn away an animal. So how do you discern what is best for both you and the person that you might be helping?
True. I would say roughly 50% of the dogs that I take in do not qualify.
Oh.
And so I do work with other rescues and such. I work with a gal out of Arkansas who's actually an animal cruelty officer, and a lot of my dogs end up going to Colorado and being placed up for adoption there. But that's basically the non-pit bulls. The pit bulls, there's really no other place for them. So if they're not qualified to be service dogs, they basically will be with me for life.
Wow.
And I'm finding out, you know, that it's, people always say, well, it's how they're raised. But it's not how they're raised. It's how they survived.
Uh-huh.
And once I realized that, because they're survival skills.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit. Talk about what you mean when you say it's how they've survived.
Yes, it's because they've come from various situations. Many of them have been abused. I have one named Monty who he's been to Springfield a few times to events there. He's absolutely amazing. And he works with many of the autistic children that are, you know, spend time with me. He was shot twice in the head and stabbed in the neck and other injuries.
Mm.
Yes. And so, you know, after all the surgeries and the infection and stuff went away, that's when I just started using him. And he is absolutely amazing. And the kids, there's one boy I've been working with quite a bit named Philip, and he's a runner. And, Monty, when we're working together, Monty just manages to figure out Philip's needs and get him to agree to come back to us through his clever ways. And then also Augie, you know, our little chihuahua, service dog Dingo. He was found running down the highway. He was with a lab mix older puppy. And I saw him pulled over, and I thought, well, the chihuahua was going to take off, but the lab would get in the car. But it was exactly the opposite. Lab took off, and Augie got in the car. And he's been a treasure ever since then. He can put up with kids grabbing him around the neck, You know, we had them at that event just the other day at the historical museum. And hopefully he'll be able to come back and show his talents more when they have big groups of kids. I talked to him and said, just give me a call. We'll be glad to be there.
Yeah. When you're up against a difficult dog, what's some of your techniques for getting them to trust you so you can place them with maybe a veteran or a special needs child?
Well, of course, you know, if they're too iffy, you know, I won't continue with them because service dogs have to be so solid. The training that was involved before, you know, the virus kind of changed everything, public access is extreme. They had to handle going through a gym floor, say with the basketballs being bounced on the floor right next to them. They had to go up in the metal bleachers that would rattle, make noises. They have to go in elevators. They had to go down busy streets and still focus. Even public restrooms, people don't realize when you go in that stall and close the door, how trapped a dog might feel. So they had to be able to deal with that, plus the toilet flushing, the hand dryers. All of that has something, you know, to go make sure they've got the right temperament. And walking through a park where there's squirrels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And focusing on their person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of training that goes into it. Yes. And a special personality. So if a dog's too skittish or something, I won't chance it.
Yeah. About how long does it take to train a dog to be with a new person?
About a year.
About a year. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason I do wanted to have older dogs, so I'm not wasting puppy time.
Yeah, yeah. Because they have to get mature to be able to handle the new stuff. Is that what?
Yeah, exactly. You know, because I can't tell what their true temperament's going to be until they're roughly, you know, 6 months old is when, you know, you're kind of figuring out the personality.
Okay. So you're going along, you're doing everything the best way you know how, you're getting, you know, like all of us, on with life, and then COVID pandemic things start causing us to rethink and retrain everything about the way we're operating. So what are you doing with Dogs Nation? How are you twisting things up so you can still make a positive impact on our community with dogs and veterans and kiddos?
All right. I'm so glad because this is the new direction. I myself am, you know, because it depressed me. We had FFA kids lined up, 4-H kids lined up in our training program. We were working with the school and their FFA class. We had so many positive things going. So it really took me down.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about our special kids with autism, you know, the ones that are mostly stuck at home. Because I do know quite a few families, you know, the kids are too risky to take out in public because of either being runners, meltdowns, and such. And with so many families now at home with not many other options, I thought, how do we make their lives more enjoyable and complete? And still provide a service dog because I still want them to be legal medical equipment. I don't want them to be a therapy dog because that's a fine line.
Oh, okay.
So I started thinking about the special needs of these kids and what we could do. And I'm hoping some of the listeners will come up with ideas. My first idea was playing fetch. You know, we all think about just throwing the ball. And for a child with autism, they're probably to get them to throw the ball might be a little bit of a, you know, challenge. But if they throw the ball, they don't usually look at it. They just kind of, you know, toss it and that's it. But with this new program, I want them to focus on the ball. That ball is going to be the communication. That ball is going to tie them into the dog. By them picking the ball up, the dog will start paying attention to them. Hopefully there will be some eye contact. When they throw the ball, then I want them to also follow that ball with their eyes. And then the dog get it, bring it back to them, and them to realize that that was kind of fun. And it's going to hopefully help their communication skills, their motor skills, you know. And then another game, let's see, I'm trying to think what was another one I was thinking. Peekaboo. And through that, they can learn to communicate, especially the ones that are nonverbal, to communicate with the dog through facial and body expressions and movements. Because a dog will respond to a smile on your face. They know. They know the difference between a tense face that's frowning and a relaxed face that's smiling. Because they can read your blood pressure from across the room.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why, you know, for diabetes and seizures and stuff, they can alert so quickly. Heart conditions.
If I can go back for a second, what is the difference between, you said there was a fine line between a medical dog and a, did you say therapy dog?
Yeah, therapy dog.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Therapy dogs are kind of like, you know, the ones trained to go into nursing homes and such. It's just difficult too, but they're not considered doing specific tasks for that person's disability.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Such as PTSD with a veteran, you know, the dogs trained to, you know, help them safely get into the stores and safely cross the street. And a task is where the medical thing comes in under the ADA.
Okay.
And all of the dogs that, you know, I deal with, we have to have doctor's approval.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
What else do you want people to know about what you're doing and where you could use help? How can people help you?
Oh, wow. Okay. You've opened up the door.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Here we go. I am recently putting my property in my non-for-profit. Dogs Nation is a 501c3. And I've got multiple houses on the property and outbuildings and 10 acres. And my dream is to have some sort of facility where higher functioning autism, I hate to use that term, but you know, that's, I can't really describe it other ways, can come live on the property. Cause the house, the main house has got 3 bedrooms, 2 baths on the first floor, the basement, 2 bedrooms and a bathroom, and have staff to help guide these people, give them training. Because the pet industry has been one of the top 10 money makers for decades. And even in these hard times, it still is. Our vet clinics are booked up. Groomings, you know, people bringing their dogs in for checkups. Mm-hmm. Everybody's still paying attention to their dogs and getting them out there. Plus horse therapy. I've got a blind mare on the property that it's amazing. And what she could do working with special, you know, individuals. And so that's the direction I want to go. It's having staff to oversee it and see how we can expand and make a difference and provide opportunities for a lot more than what I can do as an individual.
And whereabouts is your property located for people that are thinking, hey, I might want to help. Let me think logistically if I can get there.
Yes, I'm in Cedar County, El Dorado Springs, which is kind of just outside of Stockton Lake. And not too far from Nevada. Like I say, we're a small, you know, a small community.
Also, if someone wants to reach out to you about either getting a dog into the program or maybe they know someone with autism that could benefit from having a pet, what do they need to do?
They just contact my Facebook, Dogs Nation.
Very good. Anything else you can think to share?
I just want to be able to, because I'm getting older. Darn.
We all are.
Yes. And I want people to understand to take over and keep this program going. I've been doing it for probably going on 20 years. I have made so many connections. You know, I have gotten a dog from Israel. I have dogs, service dogs from New York to California. And I just know if we can get people more involved and stuff. Because, see, I've never charged for any of my service dogs. And service dog fees go from $5,000 up, depending. I've always considered them a gift. And so we want to keep on giving.
Appreciate your compassion, and hopefully we can get some folks rallied around Dogs Nation and keep doing some good in our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, too. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks for listening to the Twisted Podcast, talking with Sean from Dogs Nation. You can find out more at runradio.net.